Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth. And just was out having lunch with some friends, and then had a Doppio espresso. That was good. My daughter went with us. That was good. It's good to have steak tartare. When do I ever get to have steak tartare? That's quite an amazing thing. I guess you have to have quite a few onions, and you have to have some capers and little toast things, small little toast things that you can make with the steak tartare. It reminds me, growing up in Nebraska, we were where we would go down to the stockyards for a school field trip. It's quite different now that I live in New England. They have school field trips to Bunker Hill, to Concord, Lexington, Ralph Waldo Emerson's house, Louise May Alcott's house. It's a cool house. The ladies like that a lot. If the guys ever visit here and they want to see Whitfield and Edward Seitz and Cotton Mather's tomb and Adoniram Judson's statue at Salem's little port area there, then you have to say, "Well, honey, what would you like?" And then if they're really smart, they've already got it planned out. "Honey, I know something you really like." And then you can take them to the Louise May Alcott house. That always scores. That's a big score. Because she had a little transcendental meditation chapel in the back of her house, too, for the anti-Meonomian. Okay, well, what else do we have going on today? What's in my mind? What's in Pastor Mike's mind? That's going to be a new show. Don Green's going to be here to preach pretty soon. What's in Don's Craw? Pastor Don's Craw. That's a quarterly segment we have now. But maybe weekly. What's in Pastor Mike's mind? Sexual fidelity, if you want to order a copy. If you type in H-E-N-N-O, you get $5 off. Henno, that's the promo code. Or we've lowered the price for the Kindle. It's $4.99. If you want to go to Amazon, you can get the Kindle. We also have things to go bump in the church. I love that book, and Byron Yon and Clint Archer and I wrote it. And I know at least their chapters are good. If you want to order some of those, 10 or more, you can get to, that's good for new member classes kind of thing, new member gifts. 10 or more, you just email me, mike@nocompromiseradio.com. We can get them to you at about $7 a copy. So there you have it. Does Gendron truly proclaim the gospel? Luis sends me another letter. Now, Steve and I just did a show. We don't, maybe Luis has forgotten that my last name is Abendroth. And it's not Gendron. Although I'm going to see Mike, maybe I could hand deliver him the message because he's going to be in Branson. I'm trying to think of the travel schedule. I always thought it was kind of bogus when you saw a website and it's got the pastor's travel schedule there. Maybe it's just jealousy that I wasn't speaking at T4G, Ligonier, and the Shepherd's Conference and stuff like that. But I'm going to be in Portland at Trinity Bible Church. I think it's Trinity Bible. And S.O.S. Johnson used to go there, so I'm excited. That's in April, April 10th, I believe, 11th-ish, 12th, 13th, 14th, about five messages. And then I'll be at Branson Worldview Weekend. That is towards the end of April, first day of May, May Day. I am so old that for May Day in Nebraska, I'm sure some of you did it as well. We went, you know, we got, I think, baskets and full of candy or flowers or something like that. And you would run up to people's houses, and you would leave them on their porches and run off, scurry off. It's the Christian version, the moralistic therapeutic deism version of ring and run. Mr. Kohler, up Meredith, no, Fowler Ave. He would always answer the door in his robe when we rang and rung. Does Jenner truly proclaim the gospel? She said, the gospel means good news. To Christians, this good news is news about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word of God made flesh. Therefore, God himself come into this world as man. That's what she said. About his life and his teachings and about his impact on this world and his will for us to love, to live his life, and then to forgive. Is that not just fascinating? That fascinates me. I hope Lois is a listener of No Compromise Radio. We started off so well. Isn't that the way life is sometimes? We start running, and we run well for a long time, and then we just, to mix our metaphors, fumble. I guess that's not a mixed metaphor if I'm starting with a football run, but I was thinking about track running. And then we fumble, and then we drop the baton. I hope I finish well. I want the Lord to give me my right mind, to keep my right mind, to give me a right mind. I want to have a right mind when I'm older, and I want to finish well. That's what I would like. If you want to pray for No Compromise Radio, you can pray for that very thing. She starts off, the word gospel means good news. Okay, if you were going to analyze this, how would you analyze it so far? Good news. Okay, I can go for that. To Christians, I think that's too selective, but I give her a pass. Doesn't matter to Christians or not. It's just historical, an account. Good news. It's news. News is news to anyone. I guess she thinks it's only good news to Christians, but it's good news to non-Christians too, isn't it? To Christians, this good news is news about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word of God made flesh. So far, so good. Are we okay there? We're starting to run well. We are running well. Steak tartare, well. Some of the people who ordered steaks today, and I don't get to go to fancy places very often. You can pretty much bet if I go to a fancy place, I'm not paying. Because I think I'm influenced by my wife. My wife would rather have a new outfit than a nice dinner. I mean, maybe it's if it's our anniversary or something like that. I would rather have a bike part, something romantic. I would rather have a piece of, you know, some cool new shoes, bike shoes or something. I need some new tires, bike tires. Therefore, God himself came into this world. It should say came. She said, come into this world as man. So far, so good about his life, his teachings, and his impact on the world. Okay, is the good news what about Jesus' teachings? On a side note, have you ever considered, No Compromise Radio listener, when you read the epistles? I've been focused on Hebrews, especially these days, as I'm preaching through it verse by verse. There's not a lot about Jesus' teachings in the New Testament epistles, are they? You know, Jesus said this parable. Don't forget about Jesus' parable. Now, the undercurrent, the underpinnings, the undertones, remember that band? You can sense, you can see what Jesus taught is coming out of the hearts of the apostles, his sent ones, of course. You can get that. But the focus is on his work on him being a high priest. Let's use Hebrews as an illustration. Hebrews, Jesus is the high priest. And he's the offering too, the sacrifice. But here this high priest, Jesus, we don't see a lot. I mean explicitly. Okay, I'll give you the implicit part. Something about Jesus' teachings. I mean, once in a while you can say, oh yeah, I can hear the apostle quoting what Jesus said. But back here, to the point with Lewis. Lewis E, and that's her middle initial, and her last name starts with a K. And his will for us to love. Is that the gospel? God's will for us to love, to live his life, and to forgive. Well, we've now turned the good news about Jesus. She didn't say anything about his death and resurrection. And I know that's probably important. It says in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ the Messiah died for our sins, not his sins, he didn't sin, in accordance with the Scriptures, Old Testament Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This is the gospel. This is the most important thing because it says in chapter 15, verse 1, the gospel I preached to you, which you received. This is the word that you need to hold fast to so you don't believe in vain. The gospel is not to live his life. Let's just examine that for a moment. How are you doing living Jesus' life? See, that's what I thought. Probably about the same that I'm doing, living Jesus' life. That's the problem. We can't live that life. If the rich young ruler understands, love God and love your neighbor, and Jesus says, do this and live, those who, you know, obey the law will be justified, to summarize Romans 2:13. We can't do it. That's why Jesus had to do it. Now, that's good news that Jesus did it, but it's not good news that I am to live his life and to forgive. I can't live his life. This is no different than the liberal. Jesus is only an example. Okay, if Jesus is only an example, and by the way, Jesus is an example, 1 Peter chapter 2, he is to be our example in terms of suffering. But he's more than an example. When we look at his penalty, substitutionary death, his death as a wrath assuaging, propitiatory death, it's more than example. The liberal says Jesus is a good example. Well, then how are you living up to his example, his exemplary life? As an exemplar, Jesus leads the way. How are you matching up? And then we fall short. That's not good news. That's awful news. It's horrible news. It's wicked news. It's bad news. It's condemning news. Hey, how do I get to heaven? Oh, live a perfect life like Jesus. Maybe starting today. After the last night I had, maybe starting today. Maybe after breakfast, and I had a little hair of the dog this morning, so I started off the day with a Bloody Mary, extra shot of Tabasco sauce. So maybe starting today. See, the thing about sin is, one sin keeps you out because God's so holy. And we can't say, well, we'll just reform ourselves. We just won't sin anymore. What if you've got any sin in the past? If you've got any sin in the past, I'm not even talking about imputation of Adam's guilt, consequently sin nature. I'm not talking about even that. I'm just talking about, what if you don't sin anymore? Still, we will bust hell wide open. It is not good news. And this is the problem with the Roman Catholic Church at its essence, at its core. We can't live his life, Jesus as an example. The liberal says he's an example, but how do you measure up to Jesus' example? Well, you don't. Therefore, you need him as a substitute. You need him as a sacrifice. You need wrath assuaged. That's due you, that Jesus, as it were, intercepts, that he takes your place. This liberal concept of, well, we just follow Jesus' teachings. How you doing? We just follow his life as example. How you doing? We just follow his life of love. How you doing? We just follow his life of forgiveness, sentimentality, modeling sentimental forgiveness, apologies accepted. Shulagan. No, you sin in these areas. Of course, I sin in these areas. Protestants do. Catholics do. You need Jesus as a substitute. And so, Lois, you need good news because you have torqued the good news into bad news. This is no different when a local church, an evangelical, so-called evangelical church, has for its mantra, its slogan, its sign out front, the local church's mission statement, we're all about loving God and loving our neighbor. Well, that's bad news. This is law gospel differentiations. I actually said the other day, milk. Instead of milk. And I had to tell my kids, you know what? Daddy doesn't like it when he says milk. He likes it when he says milk. But he's been so Nebraskaized. I shouldn't probably blame Nebraska. You know, here in New England, we say wicked good. And in Nebraska, my dad would say terrible good. And I guess Charles Barkley says terrible good. I never heard anybody talk like Charles Barkley with certain words, like terrible. And then I was watching Police Women of Dallas on YouTube. I don't know why. I love the jail shows, Jail Las Vegas, Jail Vegas, whatever it's called. You know, Cops. I run out of Cops and I can't get Cops. I don't have cable TV, and Spike.com only lets you watch one or two. So I'm just flipping all around, and you've got New Zealand Cops derivatives. And now you have, I'm sure it's many years old by now, but you have Dallas Police Women. And some people I've seen on, I don't know if it's from Dallas or what it is, but they say terrible, terrible. Anyway, that's just the way it goes. Lois, Luis, this is bad news you're telling me. I've got to live Jesus' life. I am such a failure. I cannot do it. This is awful news. This is bad news. This is the law. Would you please give me the gospel? I think gospel is a declaration of Jesus Christ and what he's done as the God-man. If you insist who he is and what he's done, that's good news, because Jesus didn't fail. I'll just give you an example. You ever been tempted? Ever been tempted and then fallen to that temptation? Sinfully fallen to that temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it's a sin to give in to that temptation. Well, if the answer is yes, and I know the answer is yes, then you need someone to A, pay for that sin, and B, no particular order, just in conversation here, conversing, pay for the sin, A, and B, isn't there anyone in this world who has been tempted and has not fallen? Could you please have somebody who could do this and live? Is there somebody who can, by the works of the law, man will be justified? Romans chapter 2, verse 13. Well, thankfully, when Jesus was in the wilderness, a little bit different than being in the nice garden, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, he did not fall. Adam tempted, fell. Eve tempted, fell. Israel in the wilderness tempted, fell. David on the rooftop tempted, fell. And the list goes on. But when it comes to someone, please, can you obey God's law? Jesus did, and therefore his active obedience and his passive obedience yield good news, because those who believe in this God-man are forgiven, and much more than forgiven. They are counted as righteous. They are reckoned righteous with an alien righteousness. We think of courtroom. We think of judicial. We think of imputation, reckoning. We think of alien righteousness, forensic. Did I just say that? Judicial. Unlike the Roman Catholic Church, blending justification and sanctification, talking about good news is to live his life. That isn't good news at all. So when you say, does Gendron truly proclaim the gospel? I'm sorry, Lois, to say this, but the truth does liberate, and here's your liberation. You don't know the gospel. The gospel has nothing to do with living Jesus' life, forgiving like Jesus, washing feet like Jesus, honoring his mother like Jesus. It has nothing to do with that. Do this like Jesus did isn't the gospel. That's a law that's supposed to condemn you so that you run to the good news of the one who always did honor his mother, and you can have credit for his righteousness, and you can have his death in your place as a substitute. So you can be reconciled, because all lawbreakers are enemies of God. And now, because of Christ's work, the Son of God, the eternal Son, you can be reconciled to God. So you don't even understand the gospel. The response to the gospel is, I agree. But it's more than that. I assent. It's more than that. I'm emotionally confronted by that. Yes, but it's more than that. If you want to think about intellect, if you'd like to think about knowledge, those are both good. The Reformers would put that under knowledge. And if you want to think about intellect and Then we move to assent, and then you move to trust, a fiduciary kind of bank. You trust in that bank. They're trustworthy. That's what we're after when it comes to the response. There's a faith that doesn't save. And Lois, Lord, I just pray you'd open her eyes because she doesn't understand. You can have one little bit off, and you add a little works to grace, and what do you get? Well, you obliterate grace. That's what Romans 11:6 says. She goes on in the second paragraph. I don't even know why I need to read the rest, because when you say gendron doesn't truly proclaim the gospel, but you don't know what it is, then what can you say? Many of Gendron's videos and written materials on his website and internet evidence his proclaiming from his pulpit his hatred. I know her English isn't that good, but let's give her a break. His derision, milk. His derision and his condemnation of the Catholic Church rather than proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ as the one who was sent into the world, not to condemn the world, but that so through him the world might be saved, who came that we may have life and have it to the full, and who prayed for us that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am you, and who gave to Peter and his successors authority to adjudicate Jesus' teachings and to govern his body until Jesus himself comes again physically to rule his kingdom on earth. What do we say on No Compromise Radio? What do we say? I don't know when this is going to happen. I should probably make an announcement, but I think No Compromise Radio is going to move over to NoCo Media. It'll move away from Bethlehem Bible Church over to NoCo Media, still underneath the leadership of the elders at Bethlehem Bible Church, but moving it over to NoCo Media. Maybe it's happened by now already. I don't know. I'll have to talk to the lawyers about it. Lois, Lois, Lois. Notice how she moves from John. She doesn't say it's John 3, although I think she's quoting John 3, and then she moves straight into John 17. Gendron's teachings do not deepen nor strengthen my knowledge of and faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, because you've got the wrong Jesus, Lois. You've got the Jesus that needs to die every week on that silly altar. Gendron expounds heavily on his judgments of other denominations. Yeah, I know Jesus would never do that, would he? When it comes to the Pharisees, when it comes to the scribes, when it comes to the lawyers, when it comes to the Sadducees, Jesus never did that. No invectives from Jesus. Only love. How naive. Dialogue on environmental safety for all humanity on our planet. Dialogue that would provoke nations to recognize, acknowledge, invoke, and respect the God-given rights of all citizens of life, liberty, religion, justice, and pursuit of employment and camaraderie. How can I make this up? His videos reveal his disdain, blaspheming. I don't know what blaspheming means, but I get an idea. And making fun of everything Catholic. Most specifically, the Catholic Eucharist, scornfully advising his listeners that the wafer be served as a side dish to his dish of ecumenical stew, to the derisive laughter of his audience. The Pharisees consider Jesus to be of satanic influence. It is no wonder that Christian Pharisees consider the designated leader of Jesus Christ's body on the earth, the Pope, to be a tool of Satan. Well, she does have that last part right. That's exactly what we do think. And you can actually look at, if you want to look up the 1689 London Baptist Confession, you might find something out there. His materials severely test one's adherence to the Christian principles of forgiveness and to not react in judgments and condemnations. For this, I heartily apologize. But Lois, I have news for you, good news, and it has nothing to do with the law. The law condemns you, And we have someone who could have just condemned us, but since he's a gracious and merciful God, you know, this God loves to save even Roman Catholics who are enslaved to the system of trying to work out salvation on their own. And here we present to you, I present to you the Jesus who died on behalf of sinners like you, who was buried and raised on the third day, and your response, Lois, is knowledge, intellectual,
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.